You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome back to the We Are Theatre podcast. Today, we are going back to my roots. I started in this industry as a techie and now I'm going deep diving on technical stuff, I guess. That was very well worded. Nick Cook, hi, how are you going?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
I am doing great. I'm really excited to have this chat. You are the head of tech ops at the Theatre Royal in Sydney. Just for those people at home that don't know the technical world, what is your actual role in this theatre and what do you look after?
I am responsible for everything that sort of happens from behind the proscenium. So from all of the shows coming in, I look after the theatre's infrastructure. I liaise with the touring shows coming in and make sure that the shows get in safely, on time, and all our wonderful audience members can come in and have a great time. It's a pretty all-encompassing role. It covers everything: staging, lighting, sound, wigs, wardrobe. So a bit of everything. So it keeps me on my toes, which is really good.
That is amazing. So you get to see the show kind of go from the theatre go from this empty shell into what we see as audiences. What's your favourite part of that whole process of bump in, bump out as a tech? What is your favourite moment of that process?
For me, it's the bringing something so 2D on paper. You know, I get sort of the plans, the schedules and all of that sent to me often years in advance of a show arriving into the theatre. So for me to take that very 2D piece of paper and turn it into the final product, seeing that process evolve, seeing wonderful crew come together, the performers rightly so get the standing ovations at the end of every show because they're absolutely tremendous. But the amount of work that goes into just take from the first second of a bump in all the way through to post-opening night, you know, the crew work tirelessly and tremendously hard to make those dreams real for everyone to walk on stage. So seeing that process come alive, you know, seeing that the audience stand up on opening night and give everyone a round of applause, you know, I think the techs won't admit it, but that, you know, they're getting that round of applause too. You know, yeah. It's a complete all-round package for everyone involved, and that's certainly for me a lot of time, a lot of energy translating paperwork into a performance. That for me is the standout.
Yeah, I love that. That is such a cool insight. Let's backtrack a bit. Oh my god, I am stumbling over words today, guys. It's okay. When did you first get into technical production? What was your thing that drew you towards it? Where did you study and how did you get into the industry?
Well, I'm originally from Wales in the UK, and I was very fortunate that the high school I went to had a really good drama school. It had a drama studio in there, a theatre. And as much as I wanted to perform, and I did, I tried to perform, Anyone that's heard me sing or attempt to dance will testify. I found my calling very much. I've always been in love with live performance. Not necessarily just theatre. I spent a lot of time in live music as well. But just that experience of a live show really drew me in very early on. So I was very fortunate at school to have those facilities available to me to sort of just be left to my own devices during my lunch breaks in high school and sort of play around with equipment. And I soon found that I really enjoyed it. And I decided that was the route that I was going to take in life. So I would have been 14, 15, where I really started to say, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And then I went to a college in Cardiff, in Wales, and studied drama, which was, again, it was a bit performance, a bit technical. And I always leaned towards the technical. Yeah. And then I was very fortunate to be accepted into a theatre school in the UK called Liverpool Institute of Performing Arts, a LIPA, up in Liverpool, at the northwest of the UK. And I studied my Diploma of Higher Education in Theatre and Performance Technology. And that sort of gave me a really great grounding for where I wanted to go. And that led me into live music. It was a bizarre time in the early 2000s where there was an explosion of live music in the northwest of the UK. Bands were just popping up all over the place, and I sort of found my way into doing lighting. That was my sort of main skill set. I found myself doing lighting for live music for quite a few years before I eventually found my way back into theatre. So it's been a good journey. It's been a very fun journey.
I love that. So where would you say that your career kind of really went into overdrive and you were like on the path to where you are now? What was that tipping point that sent you to this point?
It was absolutely by accident. I was touring with a few bands around the UK, and I was incredibly busy. I was probably partying too much, and I forgot to book festival season. And in the UK, if you don't book a festival season over the summer, you don't work.
Yeah.
And by chance, I stumbled across the potential of going and working on a cruise ship. It wasn't something I'd ever explored, wasn't something I had really had an idea about what I was going to do. Within a matter of weeks, I was on an aeroplane heading to Orlando, and I went to work for Disney Cruise Line, and did a couple of contracts for Disney Cruise Line as a lighting tech, and it was a very interesting experience.
Yeah.
I didn't feel I fit in very well with the Disney franchise.
Okay.
However, I enjoyed cruising. Yeah. I enjoyed the cruise side of things. So I moved to a company called Carnival, also based out of the States. And I ended up working for Carnival for about five, 6 years. I did one contract for them on board and was promoted to a fleet supervisor, which meant I got to jump around the fleet and train technicians and sort of have an input in shows, do installs and builds and dry docks. And it was a really fascinating time, and my skill set just kept increasing. But the more you do, the more you learn. And it was just such a fast-paced environment to learn in. You were sort of stranded. You were by yourself. You had to think. You had to think on your feet. And that led me to becoming a technical manager for Carnival. And then upon leaving Carnival, I moved to Australia. I met my wife is an Aussie. I met her over in the States. And then we moved to Australia, and it's been a really good journey here. I started at the Sydney Lyric as the head of lighting, and then took over the Capitol Theatre as well as head of lighting. So I was looking after both theatres, and then I was promoted to technical manager for the two theatres. And then after 7 years, great years with Foundation, I decided to embark. An opportunity came up to build a theatre, to be involved in the opening of a theatre. And, you know, sadly, it's something that doesn't pop up very often. So I took the opportunity and went and opened the Sydney Coliseum Theatre in Western Sydney. And again, another opportunity came up.
So I was just about to say, it's pretty much the exact same thing here, isn't it?
and it seems too good to turn down. So, and here I sit, we're 4 days away from the first bump in at the Theatre Hall. And it'll be my second theatre opening in about 2.5 years, which is it's tiring.
100%. I wish I could be there for bump in. I absolutely love bump ins myself. It's my favourite part of the whole experience. Let's just backtrack to Foundation just for a hot second, because as the technical op, Foundation has a really unique moment with shows being bumped in and then having to set up for the Helpman Awards as well. So as that technical oversight, what is that like to try and do that kind of 72 hours of getting an award show bumped in while not kind of trying to fully bump out a theater to what is that like from your perspective?
It's busy, but you're working with a lot of incredible people at that moment in time. So there would be myself, my theatre team, plus the technical director of the show that's in the theatre, and the touring crew that are with that show. Plus then you have a team that come in with the Helpmans. So there's a lot of incredible brains associated with the process. It's just time consuming. Everyone works together to ensure it happens. The show would come down on a Sunday night and we'd straight away start building whatever infrastructure it is we were putting in for the Helpmans. Often it would be a screen of some variety, whether it be on stage, off to the side of the stage. And at the same time, the TV elements of the Helpmans bump in, that tends to go all night through to the Monday morning.
Yeah.
And then about 8 o'clock in the morning, we start to tech the Helpman day.
Yeah.
It just kind of flies by, and you know, before you know it, it's curtain up and it's live on telly. There's lots of TV trucks around. There's lots of people in very nice evening wear.
Yeah.
And then it's over, and then we reset the theater back, and we do a show on the Tuesday.
I think it's just one of those things. When I was going through your resume, it just clicked in my head, and I was like, oh my God, like, this is one of the things as consumers that you don't really think about. Cool, you like see the awards, yeah. But these people literally like flip a whole theater from show one night to an award show back to open the show on the Tuesday. Like, blows my mind. But let's dig into where you are now. The Theatre Royal Sydney has just gone through a refurb to be here ready for Jagged Little Pill. Three amazing shows actually coming up at this theater. Jagged, Girl from the North Country, and American Paris. Like, three fantastic shows to start. So what was that like, being like, cool, I'm taking over this theater and look at what I get to work with straight away?
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been a really holistic kind of experience for me as well. The team at Trafalgar are tremendous. From the UK side of the business, which is obviously, you know, Sir Howard and Dame Rosemary, are very inspirational people to work with. And then the team in Australia from Tim and Torben, it's a lot of fun. We've all sort of been in it from day one together, and you've seen it evolve. You know, there's been a lot of headaches, but you know, when you've got a good group of people together, you can overcome those headaches and get us to where we need to be. And I say we're very, very close. We're very, very close. This week's a long week, but it's we're nearly there. So I think people are going to be blown away. I think I certainly know when we've done site visits for some producers coming through and whatnot, the overwhelming sense has been just jaw-dropping. You know, the yeah. changes that have happened have paid tribute to the original designs. They've paid tribute to how the theatre should be presented, and have been modernised to allow for shows to come through. You know, that was certainly a key focus of my energy when I first joined, yeah. was to make sure that the infrastructure within the theatre could support theatre for years to come. Yeah. You know, there's no point in going through this sort of process to have short-term sort of thinking. So we've definitely thought of the long-term when we've been changing things.
Yeah.
Hopefully people like the changes. You know, you can't please everyone, but certainly, I'm very fortunate to have a network of people that I can call and kind of ask advice and sort of gauge some ideas before I press go on them to see what the reaction is going to be.
Yeah. Going through the refurb process and obviously setting that up for the future, is there any unique features or things about this theatre that people for like me for the first time going to be walking in here that is going to distinguish it from those unique features that you see at the Capitol and Lyric and everything like that? What's unique about this theater that makes it just be like, oh my God, like this is just a really cool place to consume art?
Yeah, it's the intimacy of the theater is going to be the first thing that people see, and that's not just from an audience point of view, that'd be from a performer point of view.
Yeah.
You stand center stage and look into the auditorium, and you can see the facial expression of every single member of that audience. And it's a 1200 seat theater, so it's not a small theater.
Yeah.
But the intimacy of it is outstanding. There isn't another theater in Sydney that gives that level of intimacy. Every theater has something unique and something wonderful about it, but intimacy is absolutely at the forefront of this, and I think that performers, audiences are just going to be astonished by how close they are to each other, by how involved in the performance an audience will be because of that. It's pretty unique, and architecturally it's looking very good. It's been brought back to where it was originally, and it's looking spectacular.
I love that, and hearing intimacy, especially for Jagged being the first I saw Jagged on Broadway, and like if intimacy, I'm so excited to get in and see this show.
Because it's so easy for a show to get lost in the space.
Yeah.
And that's not knocking any shows or venues. You know, that Sydney's had a problem with venues. You know, there was a huge outcry when it looked like the Royal wasn't going to be saved. When it, you know, the protests that came about when it looked like the Royal was going to disappear, when it was going to be yet another victim of the lack of arts in Sydney.
Yeah.
And it was saved, and that process has been wonderful, and now we get to add this space to shows when you're booking a theatre as a producer, you know, certain shows sit in certain theatres better than others.
100%.
And that, you know, that's life, you know, not every shoe fits, right? So
yeah. What was it like looking at, like, as the refurb was going on, from a technical, looking at the specs and everything and trying to figure out where all your rigs are going to go and how you're going to be able to, what you're going to be able to offer those touring shows to come in and fulfill their duty? What was your input into what was going on to make sure that you were going to be able to fulfill what shows like Jagged and Girl from the North Country are going to need lighting and sound wise?
Yeah, I sat down with the theatre consultants very early on, and I have a lot of opinions, and I have which probably clashed maybe sometimes with others, but I've been very fortunate. I've put a lot of shows in the last sort of decade. I've put a lot of shows into theatres.
Yeah.
So knowing what's hurt me previously, what's not quite worked, where we could have done this better, we should have done that better. Having gone through the process in opening the Coliseum, seeing what worked there, seeing what didn't work there, and really sort of being able to map all of that out and really think about how a show bumps in, what the process is, and what shows we're likely to get. It's impossible to predict the sort of the next 10 years, but sort of looking at the space and kind of seeing, well, you know, we're going to sort of get a show that's probably going to be, you know, 6 to 12 semi-trailers. So what amounts of gear is going to be coming in? How do we best go about that? And then safety was a key driver with the renovation. Bringing a venue to today's standards is huge. And that was a key component of all of the works and the how we went about the works was to ensure that when people are coming in to put shows in there, you know, they're working in a pleasant and safe environment. There's a lot of quirks that have gone in and changes. You know, technology changes so often, and some things are getting lighter, some things are getting heavier, and so making sure that we've got sort of contingency for that. You know, I think what was your background? Was it lighting sound?
So I started as a I did my training in studio and like live music, and then I went into like very small local productions as a sound and lighting tech, running both on very small rigs. But we've got a theater here that I've had a look at all the specs for and been in and out and around the lighting tech. So like seeing the jump from small time theater like operating and then walking into places like the Capitol and the Lyric and just looking, that's my first thing I do is look up and I'm like, oh my god, like you look at Come From Away right now and the rig that they've got up above their stage, it is just insane. I'm one of those people that notices the lights and then hears the sounds and looks at all the different aspects. That's my first thing as a consumer, which is really weird. But
I still do that.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, and you just see something. Sometimes my first thing with Six was the back wall when it was lit a certain way. My first message was the lighting designer. I'm like, what's the go? Like, that was just, I just noticed this. And he's like, oh my God, I was like, just those cool little things that are just really super unique that some people just don't notice because they're focused on the show. But there's people like us that are like, that little tiny light there that did that thing in that one spot just blew my mind. So as a tech, and then I went on stage and now I'm back doing this type of thing, breaking everything down for everyone.
Excellent.
So yeah, good fun. Well, you'll
know a little bit that the lighting, for example, is getting smaller with LED. You know, everything's getting lighter. You're removing heavy ballasts from in fixtures and whatnot. But sound is getting bigger. The ability for an audio system these days is it's incredible what you can do with sound.
Yeah.
So you know every sound design I get in, I sort of I hesitantly open it, seeing sort of oh no, how much are we going to be putting in? from surrounds through to all sorts. But it's good. It's good fun. I'm learning. Audio was never a strong point. And this project has really tested that because I've had to put a lot of audio infrastructure in. So hopefully they like it.
I did the same. I was audio heavy when I first started, then flicked to lights. And now I'm kind of like in between the two and I'm like, oh my God, like there's just so much information to carry in all the time that it's just, if you don't have 14 other people around you reading the same thing, things are going to be missed.
Absolutely.
From a stage perspective, what's the setup like with stage, pits, everything like that, as like bumping in a band and everything like that? What's the setup for this venue?
So we're a proscenium arch theatre.
Yep.
We have an orchestra pit. So the pit is automated. It's a motorised pit. So we're lucky there. We don't have to stack build or any of that. So that's always nice. It's always a sigh of relief when people come in and there's a pit lift.
Yeah.
It's a standard demountable stage.
Yeah.
So again, if a production, we're very much a bare wall. We're known as a bare walls theatre. So that's the same as the Capitol, the Lyric. We don't carry equipment per se. We have drapes and a house curtain and such like, but we don't carry lighting and sound. all of that comes in per show.
Yep.
So every time you go to see a show in Capital Lyric Royal, everything you see has come in specifically for that show. So that's, I get a lot of questions from people when I do tours and I tell them that, and they say, oh, that's, it seems so counterproductive. You're going to pull things down to hang things again. And it's the explanation of, if we put a standard rig in these sorts of theatres, it would spend, I would imagine, 80% or more of its life in storage.
Yeah, I was going to say it's almost counterproductive these days to have a standard rig, because lighting designs are so specific down to like just having extra setups on rigs, like just having one extra fixture in a rig can just throw out an entire.
And just we're dealing with predominantly, when you look at the shows that are coming through, unfortunately, that's the wrong word. It's generally overseas designs.
Yeah.
It's very rare to have a show that's Australian made, Australian designed, that comes into the theatres. It happens, but it's sort of the rarity.
Yeah.
So all of the designs are designed overseas. So that's from the lighting design, the sound design, the set design. So whatever the sound designer, for example, designed on the West End, he or she wants to put that show with that design. You know, they may have won a Tony Award, you know, or with that design. That's the design they want to have. And that includes all of the equipment. So it doesn't matter. You could have the world's greatest PA, but if it isn't the PA that designer designed their show on, then it's wrong.
Going to get ripped out and replaced.
Correct. It's going to come down. You're going to put it in storage. You're going to need to find somewhere for it. Then, you know, theaters don't have a lot of storage. You know, it's not a premium. So,
Especially where this theater is as well, being in the middle of the CBD.
Correct. I mean, we're essentially, it's such a unique location.
Yeah.
We are truly in the CBD. I mean, you know, the postcode is 2000. You know, we are flat bang in the middle of the city, but we are also sort of in the basement of 25 Martin Place. So, you know, that in its own right comes with a lot of challenges, with a lot of positives. You know, where being that close to everything is going to be awesome when we open. I mean, really,
it's going to be
CBD alive again.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of like as unique as going to see a show at the Opera House. Like, it's going to have that, like, when you go to the Opera House, you have that cool seaside vibe. But this is, like, pure CBD Sydney, like, just right in the heart of everything, essentially walking distance to nearly everything. Like, it's going to be very, one, good for tourism when things reopen, because people can just spend a whole day in the city and they'll be like, oh yeah, show at night. It's just, you know, it's just off Pitt Street, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Sam, like walk down Pitt Street Mall. Oh, look, there's a theater there. Like, it's just going to be one of those really uniquely placed theaters that is almost that New York, London style theater where you turn a corner and oh my God, it's there. Like,
definitely
something that isn't really Sydney. Much as, like, because traveling to the Lyric and the Capitol, they're in a very specific section where that whole block is the theater, where this is like,
correct, you go in there for the theater.
So yeah, wow, just thinking of that, that's insane. With bump-ins and all that, what's your like access like for your loading dock and all of that, because that wouldn't be easy for semis to load in the CBD.
No. So a semi trailer won't fit in the loading dock. So the trucks go to a yard and get cross loaded onto slightly smaller trucks.
Yeah.
And come in that way. And then it's just straight down and ramp onto the stage. Once they're cross loaded onto the smaller trucks, it's a pretty smooth process to get them in. It's just, it's just not quite big enough for a semi-trailer.
Yeah, that's insane.
So it's just an extra layer of logistics.
Extra step that needs to be covered.
Yeah, it goes into the planning and you know, myself and the touring technical director sit down and sort of look over those logistics and hopefully find a yard that's sort of close by so to do their cross loading.
Amazing. So over your entire career, let's think of it as a whole. Is there some standout moments or things that you've worked on that you're like, I can't believe I got a chance to be a part of the team that did that?
There's a lot.
That question, I was like, looking at your resume, I'm like, this is going to be a hard one to answer.
Yeah. It was very flattering when I left. When I left Foundation, the director of operations there, who had been my boss for the entire time I was there, Paul, he sent an email out to the whole business wishing me well and quoted the amount of shows I'd brought into the theatre in my time there. And even I was shocked. I can't remember offhand, but it was a disturbing amount of bump-ins. I sort of went, oh wow, that's quite a bit. Show wise, I think the, for me, sentimentally, being able to work on Les Mis was a big one for me. My dad is not one for theatre. However, he loves Les Mis. And it was the only show he would ever go and see. And he saw it so many times in different theatres around the UK. So getting to work on Les Mis was pretty awesome to sort of share some of the secrets with him.
Yeah.
Sort of was a really nice moment. So for me personally, it would be that one. But then sort of as a tech, when you put your tech head on, seeing Disney shows come through, like The Lion King and Aladdin particularly, and seeing how far they pushed the technology, was quite incredible.
I would love to be a fly on the wall for that.
It was huge.
Just watching their shows is just overwhelming. And then you think about costume, like not even just lights. Let's put lights and sound away. Just costuming, hair, makeup, like just.
Did you see Aladdin in the Capitol?
I saw Aladdin. I've seen Aladdin on Broadway. I've seen Frozen and Mary Poppins. They're my three Disney shows that I've seen so far.
The Act Two opening of Aladdin, where they're doing the procession, it's some of the greatest choreography I've ever seen, and it was backstage, where essentially the performers were constantly looping around backstage into different costumes. So they were dressers for days in the wings, and they'd come running off prompt side, leg it across the back of the stage, and then re-enter on OP in a different costume. And it was the procession for him. It was tremendous to see. And it was sort of that particular show with Cave of Wonders, going into the Cave of Wonders scene, was the first time I felt I wanted to sort of give a set change, a scene change, a standing ovation. It was just a marvel of lighting and technology. It was pretty amazing. But that show, it came into the Capitol. I can't remember exactly, but it was something silly like 31 semi trailers that it came in. It was huge. But
that's a long time. That's a long.
It was so good. It was a big bump in.
I would love to be hands on with that type of stuff. Oh my god. Okay, as a future, sitting here right now. If you had the option to work in any theater or on any show anywhere in the world right now, where would you go?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to do a show here yet. And I think for me, that's something I'm incredibly excited for. I've spent the last, November. I spent the last almost 11 months on a building site. I'm really looking forward to getting some crew into the building and some performers and brightening the place up, adding some adventure to the role. So I don't think I'd change anything right now. I think for me personally, I'm really excited to bring shows through. You know, you named the three shows that we're bringing here.
I'm pumped for those next three, like, especially for an Australian market to have those three coming out so close to their Broadway births as well. Like, it's very rare we get American in Paris is a different story, but you're talking Girl from North Country and Jagged have only gone on Broadway in West End. I think Girl from North Country is about to go there in the last 24 to 36 months. Like, it's super fresh, which is great. Well, for
Jagged, we're the first stop post Broadway. And you know, that's rare for a show to come from Broadway and come into the Australian market and especially, you know, into the Sydney market as well, which is it's exciting. And I think it's going to really, you know, as we move forward and knowing Sir Howard and knowing how the Trafalgar is so determined to bring shows to Australia first, to really enhance that, you know, Sydney gets it first at the Royal. You know, we're so proud to be able to bring that out here. It's exciting. So I know that's probably sounds like a cliche answer, but
that was actually right now, pretty damn good answer.
Who knows what the future will hold for the short term future? It's certainly I'm just really looking forward to having a show again and you know, being involved in that creativity, as much as the build of a theatre is an incredibly creative process in its own right, it's not a live show. It's not that process. So it's
going to fix things when they go wrong on an instant. Try it.
Attempt to fix things. You know, sometimes you can't. Yeah, everyone loves a good show start.
Now, this is one of the hardest sectors of the industry, I think, to get your foot in the door and get started. Being where you are now and having the experience behind you, I was one of those people that was like, I dropped out of school, went into my tech college and did my qualifications and then hit a brick wall trying to get in. And lucky I was just persistent enough, I ended up here doing my own thing. For those people maybe that are still looking for a job or are trying to get into the industry on the tech ops side of things, what's some advice you have for those people trying to start their career?
It can be tricky. I coming from sort of an educational background as my route into the industry, I'm a firm supporter of that education in into the industry, and it doesn't have to be a four-year degree. You know, it's that going out and doing a live performance course. It's, you know, going and doing a week course, you know, a one-year course, to really sort of get that grounding in the industry. It's really good to see that that TAFE are starting to really ramp up some live performance stuff as well. NIDA, obviously, WAPA. I've done a lot of stuff with the NIDA one-year technical course, where I take on some secondments. I do some guest lecturing for them, and I do lots of tours of the theatre for people. And so that route is, you know, it can be a lot clearer for people that aren't coming from that, from people who are coming from a hands-on background, from amateur dramatics, where they've been with their Amdram group, and that, you know, they've been running the lights, they've been doing the set, you know. Again, all incredible groundings in the industry, and I just encourage people to keep going, to keep learning, to keep doing shows. Every show you do, it doesn't matter what size the theatre is, it doesn't matter how many lights there are, every show you do, you become better. And that takes you far, you know. It's bloody hard work. It really is, and that can put a lot of people off, but just putting yourself out there, don't just litter people with your resume. Listen, when I moved to Australia, I was on the back of being a tech manager for a very large company in the States, Carnival.
Yeah.
I was doing $100 million refit projects, and I couldn't get anyone to take my call in Australia. Yeah. I was calling every theater. I was calling every theater company. I was calling higher companies, and I couldn't get anyone to take my call. Yeah. Like, no one was replying to emails. And eventually I got one reply back, and that was that. It took off. It's just, if this is something that people want to do, it's just about being persistent. And and I will say, a lot of those people, might come across as being rude where people haven't replied, maybe. And yes, some people maybe.
Yeah.
A lot of the time people just forget, or they were in the middle of a 14-hour day putting a show in, and they got your email, and it just got lost.
They opened it, forgot to go back.
Yeah.
To it. Yeah.
So there's no harm in following up that email. Give it a couple of weeks, follow it up, look at what the schedule is for who you're calling, and sort of seeing, are they in the middle of a build,
Yeah.
It's probably not the best time to call, but
yeah.
And look out for ads that pop up, they pop up in a lot of the publications. Just be brave and don't be afraid to engage, texts, they're not as scary as they look.
They may dress in black, but that's just so they can.
we're all cuddly, really. I certainly welcome anyone to reach out to me and inquire about work it might be that I can't offer work, it might be that I need you to go and do a few more shows or something along those lines, but I'm always keen to reply to people and offer my advice to them where I think they could maybe improve before coming in, because if coming into a this sort of size theater as an early gig in your career, I think the curve is probably going to be too intense.
Yeah.
And it would be too daunting, and I think it would probably scare a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because it's fast, everything's fast. It's long hours and it's very fast paced, and it can be very easy to sort of get behind.
Lost. Yeah. 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 I love that. Great insight. And guess what, Nick? That brings us to the end of the episode. That is a pretty Excellent. Good tying point, guys. So make sure you're checking this out, because Nick's about to go back to a bump in and get really excited for a couple of weeks until Jagged opens. So make sure you guys are checking out Theatre Royal Sydney, because as I said, three huge shows coming to Sydney. You guys aren't going to want to miss this, because these shows are top quality. We've already seen the cast for Jagged, and it is incredible. Hopefully you guys keep your ears peeled on this podcast, and we might hear more about that from them. But I'm just excited to walk through this theater and get eyes on it for the first time myself. So, I'm super pumped with that. Thank you, Nick, for joining us.
No worries. Give me a shout. We'll give you a tour. 100%.
And guys, we'll do. Guys, thank you so much for joining, and we'll be back next week with a brand new episode of the podcast. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.